Blog Talk Radio.
He missed! Step up now! Look at everybody! And then one! They got us! Indiana got us!
Oh! Oladipo!
Ha ha! Fridell all the way outside to Watford. Three on the way! Oh! It went in! It went in! And Indiana wins the ball game! Christian Watford with a three!
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
This is Indiana, yeah, we do it big. Boston on the Big Ten, you know what it is. Cause this is IU, you, you. This is IU, you, you. We are winners on the wall. And this is how we fall. Talking about the Hoosiers. Talking about the Hoosiers.
Unlike you other schools, we got history, true. Kinda like your girl does when she
visits. And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another victorious episode of the Assembly Call, where tonight we are going to break down Indiana's, get ready for this, 83-59 victory over the North Carolina Tar Heels at Assembly Hall. It was, I mean, you know, Ryan and I were just chatting just now on G-Chat. I mean, obviously that is the most impressive overall victory of the Tom Crean era. I don't think that you can really make a case for anything else. There may have been more memorable wins, obviously last year against Kentucky coming to mind and a few others, but just in terms of dismantling a highly ranked team. North Carolina came into the game ranked number 14. Obviously, they're North Carolina. They're young, but they're talented. And it was just a great performance from Indiana. We're going to break it down tonight. Andy and Ryan are both here. Zach will be here. And, you know, to kick things off, in terms of a banner moment tonight, it's pretty simple for me. I mean, this was a game that, you know, you look at the final score of 83-59. It's easy to forget that for the first 16 minutes of this game, it was neck and neck. This was a 33-31 Indiana lead at the under 4 minute timeout of the first half. I mean, the teams were trading baskets. It was a very even game. You know, Indiana still, you know, had an edge on the glass. Was leading in some of the statistical indicators that we were looking at coming into the game, but it was still a close game. In between the under 4 minute timeout of the first half and the under 16 minute timeout of the second half, it went from 33-31 to 56-37. And that included Indiana jumping out on North Carolina with a 9-0 or 10-0 run to start the second half, which effectively ended the game because it was 46-37 at halftime after Indiana really ended the first half well, and they jumped out to that big spurt at the start of the second half with Will Sheehy starting over Christian Watford, which we will definitely talk about tonight. And, you know, to me, that spurt ability, the ability of Indiana against a talented athletic team to go on that kind of run – is the banner moment for me. That's what tells me that this team is different and can compete and beat anybody in the country, is that ability right there to go on spurts like that offensively and also defensively. This was not just an offensive game. I mean, you look at the stats, Indiana held North Carolina to less than 0.9 points per possession, which is impressive. You know, for a team where we're looking for defensive improvement, I think we saw some of that tonight. And so, you know, there's tons to talk about. We're going to talk about it all. Before we get to all of that, let me bring in my two co-hosts, Andy and Ryan, get their initial impressions on this game, which was certainly a fun one for all IU fans who watched. Let's go to Andy first, then we'll go to Ryan. Andy, what was your bottom line on tonight's Indiana victory?
Well, it's kind of hard to pick this one. I was actually going to kind of bring up that same stretch run that you did. I guess I'll go with Oladipo. I felt like there were times toward the end of the first half where it looked like there was like three of them on the floor that any loose ball he got, he's down, you know, running, making plays on the break. He's blocking shots. He's just doing, you know, everything out there. And his stat line, you know, was more one about points tonight. But, you know, he clearly, you know, set the tone defensively and did a really great job. You know, 19 points was, I think, fairly close to his career high. And I thought he was, you know, just outstanding. And the emotion that guys like him and Sheehy bring, I know that was something we talked about last time, but those are two guys that really get jacked up for games like this. And I thought they did a good job of kind of harnessing that tonight and using it to their advantage instead of getting, you know, too excited and overhyped. And you know, Sheehy coming off the bench with 19 points. He was outstanding and really played good defense on McAdoo for a stretch there in the second half when Watford was out. So I thought both those guys, the Sheila Depot combination was in full effect tonight. They were both just outstanding and, you know, tons of emotion, tons of excitement. Just a great performance from those two guys.
Well, no, I agree with you. And you want to hear something kind of eerie from a statistical perspective, Andy. They both scored 19 points. They were both 8 of 13 from the field, and they both grabbed 4 rebounds. And they both had 1 assist. So, I mean, the two of those guys basically played the exact same game. And, I mean, I thought, and we're going to get to this, I thought Victor Oladipo played the smartest game I've ever seen him play, how he adjusted in the first half, which I want to get to. But before we do that, let's go to Ryan. Ryan, I don't know what you're going to come up with a rant, you know, for tonight, because, you know, your boy Will Sheehy was outstanding. He played within himself. So I'm going to turn it over to you, and let's see what you've got for this evening.
Well, it's a positive rant. I think it's easily the best overall game IU has played under Tom Crean. I mean, there were, you know, maybe bigger, more impactful wins under, you know, against Ohio State, Michigan State, Kentucky, obviously. But this was the best game they've played, and I don't think there's any argument against that. They thoroughly out-rebounded a top team, you know, or at least a team with a ton of talent. They were blocking shots. They were diving on the floor, offensive rebounds. You know, they only shot 45%. This wasn't one of those nights where Crean, as we've seen under Crean, where the team just goes nuts shooting the ball. They just outplayed, outworked, and out-hustled the other team. And, you know, when that happens, you're going to win games, especially when you're this talented. And they could, if they play tonight, there's not like they did tonight, not only is there not a team that there's no team that can compete with them nationally if they play like they did tonight, but not only that, they'll blow everybody out if they play like they did tonight. I mean, that game was a joke with 15 minutes left in the second half. And, you know, it was just a thorough, top-to-bottom, amazing performance. Everybody who came in had that sort of singular drive to just outplay the other team. And it's something that, as you watch, you can be proud of. It's not, you know, it's not something you just watch and say, okay, on to the next game. I mean, this is one you can look at and say they just absolutely took apart a top 25 team.
I agree with you, and that is a great point. And especially, you know, because we've seen, you know, when Indiana plays well and beats teams the caliber of a North Carolina, you know, a lot of times we'll shoot really well. We'll just shoot great from three-point range. You know, we shot 40%, 8 of 20, which is good, but it's not one of those transcendent performances. Like you said, we only shot 44.6%, you know, from the field. You know, and even, you know, one of our main players, obviously Christian Watford, who we count on in big games, was 1 for 9, you know, didn't really score, and we're going to talk about that. I don't want to go into the few negatives that there are yet, though. I think one thing that we tend to do a little bit on this show is take Cody a little bit for granted and kind of glaze over his performances. But I think tonight I want to talk with both you guys about Cody, because I thought, especially in the first half, especially early, you know, Andy, you mentioned on the show last week and in your preview how important it was for Indiana to get off to a good start. And I thought Indiana really did get off to a good start tonight. I mean, even though it was, you know, it was 31-31 at the four-minute mark, Indiana always kind of held the lead. You know, it was 11-7 at the under-16 timeout. It was 18-15 at the under-12, 23-21 at the under-8. So it was close, but we always kind of held the lead, and it always felt like we were in control of the game. And I thought there were two reasons for that. Number one is that, you know, we had the best player on the floor in Kobe, who played like it early. He was running. You know, he was getting up and down the court. He was getting easy baskets, which was a major part of his 20 points and that efficient 8 of 13 shooting. And I also thought early on, I thought Yogi played really well. I thought Yogi did a really good job defensively. And even though he had a turnover or two in the first half, I thought he did a good job, you know, of getting the ball in the right position offensively, because, you know, we got out to about a 5-6 point lead. And then when Remy came in, you know, that lead evaporated a little bit because we had our only offensive lull there kind of in the first half when Yogi was out. So Andy, I want to go to you. I want to talk about Cody, who I thought really came out and set the tone and just, I mean, he just played a great all around game, 20 points, 9 rebounds, the 4 blocks. I thought defensively he was great. So touch on Cody, and then also, if you would, touch on Yogi, who may have had, you know, considering the circumstances and the opponents, one of the best 0-for-5 performances in the history of IU basketball, because that's what he shot, but he still finished with, you know, despite the 2 points, 5 boards, 6 assists, and I thought overall played a really good game.
Well, I've had some amazing 0-for-5 pickup games, so I can tell you that that can actually happen. But, you know, I mean, looking at Cody, I thought, you know, one of the things I was interested to see coming into the game, and it played out how I thought it would, was I didn't see North Carolina wanting to put McAdoo in a situation where he had to guard Zeller. And so that essentially meant that they had to play, you know, one of Desmond Hubert or Joel James, and neither of those guys has the experience or the, you know, skill level to really play with him. And so I thought those guys got exposed early, and then even when you came out in the second half, you know, they tried to play Bryce Johnson on him, and he's got good height, but he, you know, weighs probably less than I do, which is not a great commentary on my physical fitness, but true. And so I thought that was really where that he was able to take advantage of those guys and get out in transition, make some baskets there. He had some nice moves to the basket, took a few mid-range jump shots, didn't make them. I think, you know, you commented at one point he didn't seem all that comfortable taking them, but, you know, that was a shot that, you know, North Carolina was willing to give him. But I thought he did a great job controlling the defensive glass, and that was really as critical as anything against North Carolina, because what they really, you know, their best offense is offensive rebounds at this point. And so, you know, in the first half when the game was in doubt, I think IU gave up two, and Zeller was a big part of that, and you know, had a few blocks tonight. I didn't really remember, you know, a lot of blocks from him earlier this season, but I thought he had a few huge ones early in the game that really set the tone there. And obviously, his ability to get out and beat people down the floor and get in transition is second to none. So, you know, that's an area where, you know, gave Carolina a bit of their own medicine, as a lot of people commented. So just thought he really came out and helped them get off to a good start, you know, racked up a couple fouls on people early on and really, you know, played well and exposed the fact that North Carolina didn't have anybody who was going to be able to guard him on this given night or probably any night. And as far as Yogi, I know I commented one of the plays he made in the first few minutes, he just kind of got in too deep, didn't really know what he was going to do with the ball and turned it over. And that may have ended up being his only turnover of the game. And I just thought he, after that point, really played under control. Did a nice job of getting into the lane, because, you know, Carolina on a couple plays early, the minute anybody got into the lane, I think Watford was in there on one of the plays. I mean, they just swarmed guys to the lane and were leaving people open on the outside. And then they started to adjust to that. And then you saw guys like Sheehy and Oladipo do a really nice job of finding openings and cutting to the basket. And he found them pretty much every time for a stretch there where, you know, he would go into the lane, Sheehy would be on a, you know, 3-second delay, kind of running from the three-point line and, you know, get an easy cut to the basket. Oladipo had the same spot where he kind of, you know, carved out space on the baseline and Yogi got him the ball there. So I thought, you know, all kidding aside, for a guy not to, you know, make a shot from the field, still had a great impact on the game and still, you know, for as well as Holt distributed the ball and actually had more assists than he did, you know, still gave Jordan that opportunity to play off the ball that we talked about the other night. And you know, I was really impressed with him in a game that it would be pretty easy for a freshman to get, you know, overly excited and get a little too amped up. And as much as anything, I know Jeff Goodman of CBS commented on this on Twitter, he continues to be really good defensively, and that's not something that you see from many freshman guards. That's not something you see from a lot of junior guards, quite honestly, and definitely felt like he was really locked in on that end of the floor and did a good job setting the tone on that end as well.
Yeah, I think that it's pretty obvious that Yogi is the kind of player, and it's good that we have this kind of player. He's a pure point guard, which we haven't had. And his ability to only score 2 points and have a huge impact on the game separates him for us. I mean, a guy like Jordan Hulls has to score to affect the game, I feel like, or, you know, unless he has just a phenomenal passing game or something. But Yogi can score 2 points, dish out, or, you know, grab 5 rebounds, dish out 6 assists, and be one of the best players on the floor. And that's what he did tonight. I mean, defensively, he stepped up. Offensively, he kept things moving. He made some great passes. You know, just it continues to be able to penetrate into the lane, find the shooters, find guys open underneath or anything, and really play above his age. And that's a huge key. As for Cody, I mean, you know, what can you say about it? 20 points, 9 rebounds and assists, a steal, 4 blocks. And, you know, he didn't play a whole lot, really. I mean, they were able to rest him a big stretch in the first half. and then obviously in the second half. And, you know, he just – he continues to look like the best player in America every time he's out there. And, you know, again, it makes things a lot easier when you have guys at that talent level. But not only that, they're all guys who play hard, too. And Cody, you saw it a couple times. He's diving on the floor. He's, you know, doing everything he can to just get that little extra effort. I mean, a couple of those blocks, he really put extra effort into it just to get to the ball when he probably could have just stood on the backside and looked for a rebound. But, you know, he was going that extra mile. And, you know, so it's one thing when you have talent. It's another thing when they're willing to go all out to get, you know, get to the ball and make some plays happen. So.
Well, no, I agree.
It was a big night for both of them, I thought.
Well, and I tell you what, part of the reason why this team does that, you know, you saw Cody, you know, diving after loose balls with, you know, 4 minutes left. Part of the reason why this team does that, great tweet from Ken Bickoff towards the end of the game. Kareem just kicked the scorer's table while yelling at Etherington after that turnover. Wow. You know, and Dickie V even mentioned it on the broadcast that, hey, you know, Kareem coaches still final minute, and he does. And you know, that's one of the things. Look, you know, we kind of joke about, hey, you know, Kareem, he paces a lot, and he's intense, and yada, yada. But I tell you, you know, I mean, outside of Watford, pretty much everybody on this team has kind of adopted that mentality where every minute they're out there on the floor, they're giving it their all. And again, we're going to talk about Watford, but I'm trying to delay talking about the negatives because it's such a fun night. But I think, you know, this team is really taking on the personality of its head coach, which is great because, you know, we know that Kareem always has that energy. And this team now plays with that energy and that confidence. And, you know, the other thing I love about this team, you know, we get on these shows and I always struggle with, you know, okay, who do we talk about? How do we direct this conversation? Because there's so many places to go. We haven't even talked about Jordan Hulls yet. He had 13 points, 7 boards, 8 assists, 2 steals. He was 5 of 8 from the field, 3 of 5 from downtown. I mean, Jordan Hulls just keeps turning in these performances that are better and better. And, I mean, we've got to talk about him because he was terrific in the first half. He was especially good during that 8 to 9 minute stretch where, you know, where we really extended the lead. You know, I thought he played really efficient basketball, got the ball in the right spots, picked his spots to score. I mean, he has been terrific this year. And I think coming into this year, people thought, oh, you know, this backcourt of Yogi Ferrell and Jordan Hulls, it's too small, it's limited in this, that, or the other area. You know, I started thinking about this during this game. I can't think of a trio of backcourt guys in college basketball that I would trade Yogi, Jordan, and Victor Oladipo for. I mean, just the varied skills these guys bring to the table and their ability in big games. We've seen Jordan and Victor do it, and Yogi obviously showed it tonight. Their ability in big games to have their best moments is just terrific. So, you know, before we kind of move on and start talking about anything else, we've got to talk a little bit about Jordan Hulls. I mean, Andy, what did you see from Jordan? And are you surprised at all that he's been this good early in the season this year? Because he's been terrific. You know, DKV talking about the most improved player being Victor Oladipo. I'm sorry, for anybody who's watched Indiana play, the most improved player on this team, I think anyway, is Jordan Hulls.
Well, I would have mentioned him earlier, but I was still, you know, caught up in that inane argument about whether he was a better shooter than Steve Alford. So that was another Dickie V classic. So I didn't bring him up. I was still confused by that, but. I don't know that I'd say he's that much improved as I would. He's just able to do more of the things that he's capable of now, without that added pressure of really running the show. I mean, he didn't, you know, while he's not the, you know, primary ball handler anymore, he had 8 assists, which is probably close to a career high, I would guess. And I think, you know, he just is kind of flourishing in his role right now, but I don't know that necessarily means he's that much better than before. I think he's just, you know, embraced his role. Now, you certainly can't argue that he's probably been the MVP of the team so far, based on how he's played, you know, night in and night out, hitting big shots, you know, always kind of coming up with the clutch play just when IU needs it. That didn't really come into play too much tonight, but you really saw him. I mean, he was key in that stretch as well, though, toward the end of the half. I mean, he was the one making those long lead passes to Oladipo and to Zeller. Some of those off of long rebounds and things like that. I think he's just, you know, in such a comfort zone right now based on what he's doing where if they need him to slide over to the point for periods of time, he definitely can. But he just seems to be, you know, so much more effective and just a guy who's, you know, who has, you know, gradually gotten better and really kind of found his niche over the course of time. And I think he's a guy who has benefited so much from, you know, kind of leading some of these younger guys and a lot of the confidence that really comes with the way they look to him to be a leader with the team. So, you know, I kind of disagree a little bit in the sense that maybe I don't think he's the most improved, but I think he's the one who's, benefited the most from, some of the new guys coming in.
Yeah, I completely agree on Halls. I think that he's a guy who's really benefited from Yogi's ability to penetrate and suck the defense in. And eventually, you know what, with him, they're probably not going to leave him off drives. I mean, eventually later this year, you're not going to see those guys fall, you know, on the weak side fall in. So you're going to get Yogi having to finish at the cup as the season goes on. But for now, he's just exploiting defenses. And not only that, when he catches the ball and his guy is helped off, they're closing out so hard that he can, you know, make a ball fake and make a little crazy runner, heading to the hoop, and he's been able to do that. So we've seen that sometimes this year. But, yeah, I mean, his effort and intensity, it's always been there since he was a freshman. I mean, he's, you know, that 7 rebounds doesn't surprise me at all tonight because, you know, he's the shortest guy on the court, but it's hard to argue that he doesn't have the biggest heart. I mean, he's on the floor. He's doing whatever it takes since he was a freshman in those awful years to get the ball and make a play. And, it's not surprising to see that. I really is. And, the 8 assists was nice to see and 0 turnovers. I mean, you know, he and Remy combined at 14 assists and 1 turnover tonight. Yogi had 14 assists and 1 turnover tonight. I mean, that's phenomenal from the guy, the key guys running the offense and handling the ball. So, out of Jordan, it's been great to see him do that early in the year. He was the MVP of the tournament in Brooklyn, and he's really been just a steadying hand on offense. But I'm not really surprised by it. I mean, he's done everything he's been asked to do during his time here, and now he's being asked to spread the floor and hit threes, and we know that's probably what he's best at.
Well, we're going to be joined here in a little bit by our on-campus correspondent, Zach, who was in Assembly Hall and can kind of give us a feeling of what it was like. And we're going to go to our buddy Nick here in just a moment. It's 646-716-6360 is the number if you want to call and talk about tonight's IU victory over North Carolina. Again, 646-716-6360. So let's go over to our buddy Nick, who was called in many times before. Nick, what did you think of this game, this performance from Indiana tonight?
Yeah. Honestly, going into this game, I was a little nervous with, KenPom saying we're going to win by 13 and Vegas saying, 9 or 9.5 or whatever it was at tip-off. I was just nervous because I guess the past couple years have been so bad that I was just nervous to be being, positioned to say, yeah, we should, actually beat a, top 15 Carolina team by 10 points. So I was a little nervous going into this, but I mean, I just still can't believe it that we just dismantled them. And I think the best part about it was is that we have 2 or 3 rotation players that were in sweatsuits tonight. And I just, I mean, God, that was freaking awesome.
I think you pretty much just summed up the entire feeling of Hoosier Nation. I mean, that's right. It was freaking awesome. And there's so many, there's so many angles to cover, and there's so many reasons why it was awesome. And, Andy, I want to talk with you about something real quick, because I thought, to me, look, we already talked a little bit about Victor Oladipo, but I thought, 19 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 0 steals. It's not his most impressive box score performance tonight. But, having watched, pretty much every minute that he's played, I thought this was the smartest basketball game that I've seen Victor Oladipo play. And part of the reason was, early in the game, it looked like North Carolina was really denying Victor the ball up top. And if you remember back to last year in a lot of Indiana's bigger games, Victor spent a lot of time with the ball in his hands, and he was really initiating the offense, driving to the bucket, doing some of that dribble drive type stuff, especially in the latter part of the year. And we've talked on this show about, when is Indiana going to kind of get back to doing that, because we haven't seen it as much. And it looked like they were trying to do it some early. North Carolina was really denying Victor the ball, and he adjusted and started going inside. And there was about, there was a 5 or 6 possession stretch there where I think, there were 3 or 4 buckets by Victor. And I think Yogi found him. I think Jordan found him, where Victor just decided, hey, I'm not getting the ball up top. I'm going to start cutting to the basket. And he basically started using the, Will Sheehy smart strategy for offense of just cutting to the basket, making himself available close to the hoop.
and got some easy buckets. And I thought really, you know, kind of got his game going, got the team going. You know, and I thought was just it was really just indicative of the types of improvements he's making this year as a player. What did you see that same thing kind of out of Victor, and what else did you see from him tonight, just in terms of his overall performance?
Well, I think that was a really good observation. I think he definitely was one where there are times when he can try to force things a little bit off the dribble, and I think that, you know, in some ways North Carolina doing that to him, you know, allowed him to go another route. And so, you know, I think he, you know, maybe it's because he and Sheehy are such good friends. I don't know. But some of the, you know, the cutting seems to have kind of rubbed off in the way that he was able to do that. I definitely think as you see his, you know, skill set advance a little bit and him just be able to do different things. I think that's really where, you know, Vital's, you know, comments about improvement are probably most evident is, in the way that he's really been able to refine what he does defensively and or offensively, and not really be kind of a, you know, one trick pony on that end where he's got to have the ball in his hands and try to drive to the basket and different things like that. So I think it just, you know, really shows, you know, the maturity on his part and the way that he's been able to do that. And I think, you know, having a guy like Yogi probably allows him to do that a little bit more and not force the action and really kind of trust that, you know, if I make the right play and I make the right cut, somebody's going to find me and get me the ball in the place to score. And I think that was pretty key. And obviously he's always a guy who, based on his just activity level, is going to get out and be able to get some baskets in transition. But I thought those adjustments from the half court was a good observation on your part and one that I think, you know, he certainly doesn't make a couple years ago and one that I think is easier to see the success of with a guy like Yogi handling the ball more.
All right, we're going to go to our buddy Zach here in just a minute. But, Ryan, I want to bring you in again, and let's talk a little bit about Will Sheehy, your favorite player. And I want to kind of compare contrast him a little bit with the performance of Christian Walker, because we didn't even talk about Christian, who was my pick to click entering the game. I thought he was going to have a huge performance, and he put up a dud of 2 points, 5 boards. He was 1 of 9 from the field. You know, he had a lazy turnover here and there. He just didn't quite look locked in, and I was really disappointed because I think we've come to expect big games out of Christian, you know, especially at home, and he really didn't deliver tonight. Now, the nice thing is he didn't need to, and we still beat a top, you know, 15 team, 83-59, so there are some positives to take from that, but there's also, I think, a wake-up call to be seen in this for Christian, especially since he didn't even start the second half. Will started, and Will definitely deserved to start, and I thought tonight, you know, Ryan, we saw the Will Sheehy that you're always harping about. You know, I thought he was under control. I can't, off the top of my head, I can't remember a bad shot that he took out of his 13. You can remind me if he did, but he was 3 for 4 from 3-point range. I thought all of his pull-ups were good. I thought he was cutting to the basket. I thought there was a stretch there in the first half where he was, you know, again, he was doing his Will Sheehy thing where he's basically cutting to the basket to create offense for Indiana, which is when he's at his best. And it was and he was just energetic and locked in, which was a complete contrast to Christian. So if you would, just talk about those two guys, you know, because I think, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, we saw, you know, Will started over Christian to start the second half. So obviously they are guys that Crane sees that he can kind of interchange if one isn't doing the job and one is. I mean, what did you see from those two guys tonight and kind of what do you expect moving forward?
Well, you know, with Christian, we've seen him have off nights before, and usually when he has an off night, it's not a game where he scores 10 points, grabs 5 rebounds. It's a night where he just doesn't score. And but I think on this team, he can afford to do that. He can defer to some of the other guys around him, and that's definitely a positive. I mean, some people can look at that as, well, he didn't have a great game, but, you know, it's also the fact that we have other guys. We had 4 guys in double figures. You know, we had 3 guys with 19 or more. That's a positive, not as much a negative. And I think that with Watford, you know, when his jump shot's off, it usually starts with a jump shot for him. You know, when he gets that jump shot working, he's more aggressive following that. But I think also tonight you saw him try and be aggressive. And, you know, he had a couple drives where I thought, he got bumped around. Not necessarily something you'd call a foul on, but it just kind of threw his rhythm off with the drive. And so he also, but the positive on him is he grabbed 5 rebounds. He played hard defense. I don't think there was much to complain about. Sometimes you just miss shots. It happens. And other guys on the team were in rhythm. And talk about Sheehy. And just for the record, he did miss a 3-pointer, and I will go ahead and call that a bad shot. I actually thought three of his 3-pointers were shots I would not have taken, only because he's so good when he drives the ball. And that, you know, I mean, you guys know I've harped on it so much. I wanted to be smarter with the basketball. And, again, I get more excited than anybody when Will Sheehy plays well. People may not believe that for some of the things I've said about him on this podcast. But, no, I definitely am extremely excited for him when he plays well because we all know he's capable of that. That what he did tonight, he can do every night if he plays smart. And, you know, he was cutting to the hoop. He was driving and pulling up, which is his game. I mean, his game is not standing out and hitting three-pointers. His game is you know, ball faking, getting a dribble or two, and pulling up in rhythm. That's where he's at his best. And he's also more dangerous that way. When he just stands on the wing and jacks up three-pointers, he's incredibly easy to guard. He needs to use his athleticism to his advantage and things like that. But, yeah, he hit three or four threes tonight. That doesn't mean make him a great three-point shooter. He just had a good night shooting threes, and I don't want him to get complacent and, you know, take the easy way out and just fire up threes. But, again, he had a great night. It was great to see him step up in a big game like that and play well. And yeah, there were times where he was easily the best player on the floor on either side.
Yep, no, he's got the talent to do that. Let's go to our buddy Zach, who's in Bloomington. Before we do that, real quick, our buddy Nick Bonich here, who was just on the line, just let us know in the chat that his dad is actually listening in from Korea. So we do want to say hi to Mr. Bonich from Korea. We appreciate you listening. And hey, you know what a fun game to listen to us talk about here tonight as Indiana wins 83-59 over North Carolina, and we're continuing to break it down tonight on the Assembly Call. The number is 646-716-6360 if you want to call in and make your thoughts known about this Hoosier team that certainly proved itself as number one tonight. Let's bring in our buddy Zach today, who was tweeting all day from the Assembly Call Twitter account some great pictures of the scene in Bloomington, which, you know, I think people were wondering, would it compare to last year's Kentucky game? I think we all knew it wouldn't quite compare to that, but certainly it was close, and there was a lot of excitement in Bloomington. Zach, what kind of set the scene for us for what it was like being in Bloomington today?
Yeah, it was definitely a great scene, like you said. Not quite on the Kentucky stage, December of last year, but pretty much as close as you can get to that. Reminded me when Michigan State Spartans came to town last winter when they were ranked fifth in the nation. Reminded me of that. Pretty much as close, to Kentucky as you can get. That's pretty hard to match, but it was a great day in Bloomington. You know, all the papers, front cover, you know, Indiana, North Carolina, you know, signs, advertising watch parties, and this and that, everything. IU basketball all around town, all the local bars, all the local restaurants and hangout spots and whatnot. It was pretty much everything you heard anybody talk about. I know each of my three professors mentioned it, at least a couple times throughout classes today. When Indiana basketball, when there's something to talk about with Indiana basketball, everybody's talking about it. It was a great scene. I got to Assembly Hall at about 7:40. I thought the gates would open at 7:30, but they didn't open until 8. So I waited a little bit. So Dan Shulman and Dick Vitale came by, shook some people's hands and whatnot. By the entrance to Assembly Hall, I was three rows behind General Assembly, the main part of the student section, for those that aren't that familiar with Assembly Hall. So I was right there, right in the middle of things. Like I said on Twitter, my ears are still ringing. My voice, I don't know if you guys can tell, is not at 100% after those few hours. But it was a great scene. Great job by the fans. Extremely loud from, I would say about 8:30 until the final buzzer. It was a great environment. The fans didn't let up when we were, our lead was in the 30s. And that was great to see. I liked most of the chants. A lot of great signs, good costumes in Assembly Hall, as always. It was a good day in Bloomington.
All right, well, Zach, hang around for a little bit because I want to get your insight on some other topics. But I want to go back to Andy real quick because there's one thing that we haven't talked about yet,
and we really should have, because I think it may be, you know, talk about burying the lead. You know, we've talked a lot of the reasons why Indiana won 83-59 tonight. A lot of them have been offensive, you know, adjustments that Vic made on offense and, you know, Cody running the floor and this, that, and the other. But I tell you what, from a defensive perspective, I thought this team showed a lot of improvement tonight. I think it started with Yogi kind of out top, you know, pressuring the ball and really doing a good job. And I thought Cody played about as smart a defensive game as I've ever seen. You know, because he was able to get four blocks, he was able to grab nine boards, and he only had two fouls. And I thought he was very smart about times when he was aggressive and smart about times when, you know, maybe he was beaten or a guy had position on him and he let him score, let him shoot without, you know, without getting a foul. And, you know, you just look at the numbers. I mean, Indiana scored 1.26 points per possession. We know it was a great offensive game tonight. But North Carolina, a team that's obviously known for its offense, Indiana held to less than 0.9 points per possession, 0.899. And, you know, it's not just a numbers thing. I thought there were some things that just as you watched the game, Indiana looked better. I thought we did a better job on the glass. We rotated well. It looked like there was more communication, a little bit more cohesion. Andy, what did you see? Because I think maybe of all the things that we talk about tonight, you know, this team's improvement on defense, which we knew coming into the season was the number one thing they had to do to become a true national championship contender. It looked like we finally really saw some signs of that tonight.
Yeah, I thought there was a lot of good things on that side. I mean, I touched on it a little bit earlier. North Carolina came in, they were rebounding about over 40% of their own misses. They were at about 20% tonight, only nine offensive rebounds, and I would say a few of those kind of came late when you know, you had reserves in. The game was well out of reach. I mean, it was two in the first half, and they came in and had a number of guys that were shooting the three really well. They made one three-pointer at the 16:59 mark in the first half and didn't make another one the rest of the game. And I thought IU did a good job of really not giving up, you know, open looks to, you know, Reggie Bullock, who came in shooting the ball really well from the outside. You know, same with Leslie McDonald. You know, really tried to make those guys put the ball on the floor, and neither one of them did, you know, wound up doing much of anything. They actually didn't even take that many threes between them. They were 0 for 4 between them, and both guys were shooting upwards of, I think, 48% or so. I mean, they're not quite in holes range, but they're, you know, they're up there. They'd come in shooting the ball really well, and so I thought that was impressive, and you know, I thought they did a really good job of defending McAdoo inside. So, you know, we talked a little bit about, you know, Watford, but I thought he did a decent job on him defensively. Sheehy did a nice job when he was in on him. You know, a guy who, you know, kind of has that fight, and he's going to, you know, not back down from any kind of challenge like that, where, you know, a bigger guy, you know, really kind of got into him a little bit. And they forced him to really take jump shots or you know, kind of turn around, fall away type shots instead of giving up, you know, true post moves, and really didn't give him much of anything in transition, which, you know, is pretty critical because, you know, obviously North Carolina wanted to get out and run and got beat a little bit at their own game in that regard. But thought they did a really nice job. And one of the things I noticed was that even with a guy like McAdoo, there were times when IU switched pretty much everything inside. So, you know, you saw Oladipo wind up on him occasionally. You saw Remy Abel wind up on him occasionally. And they all just kind of got into him as best they could and tried to force him to take difficult shots and, you know, really tried to make other guys beat him than him. And nobody really was able to do that. They had a few guys, you know, score some points later in the game. But, you know, to come out in that first few minutes of the second half, just not give up a point at all, I thought was really impressive. And, you know, I thought that, you know, the on-ball defense from Yogi was really good. But, you know, really good communication, which is really what it takes to play good defense. I thought there were a number of times when in transition, you know, you could see guys, you know, talking and pointing out people to get back to, and I thought that was a pretty big difference in it. So, yeah, definitely a case where it's easy to look at, you know, the layup line or dunk line that was the, you know, the first half and some of the great shooting in the second half and focus on that. But I think to hold North Carolina to, you know, 37% shooting in the game and, you know, 12% from three-point range was really impressive and really took away their strength on the offensive glass.
Yeah, I think that it was just suffocating defense at times, and they were funneling everything that went to the middle towards Cody as opposed to, you know, letting him go baseline. They were forcing him middle and, you know, allowing Cody to step up and make plays, or at least the threat of him making a play affected some shots. And just very solid, aggressive on-ball defense without fouling. You know, at least fouling too much, you know, so I really, it was nice. I mean, this is what Tom Crean's specialty was when he came to IU. It was aggressive on-ball defense, and we saw that tonight. And it was on, you know, in the past we've seen guys play, you know, try and get up and play tough, you know, man-to-man, but the problem was we just didn't necessarily have the talent or the ability to recover that we do now. And so it's a different product because of the ability of all the guys on the floor. And also this year now they're used to having a post player, so if they've got to get up a little bit, you know, tight on a guy and he gets by them, you know, they're not panicking as much and fouling. They're realizing they've got a 7-footer back there to erase some mistakes. And so it really, it's just a more confident team, and they're also trusting each other. Like Andy said, they were switching on, you know, things you would normally not see them switch on. They were switching on, you know, Oladipo would take a bigger guy that he could handle because he's so athletic. And they all just, again, they trusted each other enough to help and know that everybody knows where they're supposed to rotate to and step down, step up, and move into the right spot. So you really didn't see many blown assignments, and that's different than the last few years. I mean, you would see guys just not having the athletic ability to recover or the confidence to recover and step up and help somebody else out. So it's a different team this year, even than last year. You're just seeing a continuing evolution of the roster because of you know, how much it's improved over the last few years.
Well, you know, and speaking of the roster, I want to talk a little bit about the bench here coming up with Jeremy Holloway and Remy Abel, who I thought, you know, had some interesting stretches there. Before we get to that, though, I want to talk a little bit more about Christian Watford. I know that that Andy has a couple hot sports opinions about Christian that he wants to share. Before we get to those, Zach, you know, you were there live, and I know, you know, just kind of from learning from my dad, who's an NFL scout, you know, there are certain things you can really only kind of gauge if you're there watching a guy in person. You know, we know obviously just from, you know, kind of watching on TV and the stat line, this was, you know, easily not one of Christian's better performances, especially in a big game where we've come to expect so much from him. But Zach, you know, as you kind of watched the game, what did you see from Christian? Because to me, you know, I know we've even had some differing opinions here. I mean, you know, I know Ryan talked about, you know, he played some solid defense, and, you know, I know he did, but it also looked like he was pretty lackadaisical at certain times on the offensive end, just didn't really look locked in like a lot of the other guys, especially, you know, guys like Victor and Will, who looked totally locked into this game. What did you see being there live, Zach?
Yeah, I think not being locked in is a pretty good way to put it. But probably the biggest problem I saw from him was, you know, how much he was just getting down on himself after, you know, a missed shot, whether it was one of his, you know, better attempts or not. He was really getting down on himself, you know, throwing his hands up in the air in disgust, really getting frustrated, you know, yelling off to the sideline, you know, things you don't want to see from someone that is supposed to be one of your senior leaders. I think it was late in the first half. He kind of acted out after a bad play, and Victor went over to him, grabbed him by the shoulders. No idea what he pulled him, but, you know, something along the lines of calm down. You know, it was when IU, you know, was really starting to click and hit their groove. And, you know, it was strange to see Watford, you know, struggle and really be so down, so negative emotionally, when pretty much everybody else was the exact opposite. You know, even though Christian, you know, can be like that from time to time, he isn't, you know, the fiery player that, you know, that Vic or Sheehy is. You know, we all know that. But, you know, I think Christian, you know, even when he struggles, you know, all throughout his career, he's been one of the guys that just had some bad nights. And, you know, when it's not on for him, it's really not on. That was obviously the case tonight. He needs to make sure he's helping the team find other ways to win. Like you said, the defense, which can be very good at times, he needs to rebound the ball. I don't even know how many rebounds he has. Haven't had the chance to look at a box score yet. I think he should have.
Five.
Okay, yeah, five rebounds. There was definitely at least another handful that, you know, he definitely should have gotten. Like you said, the defense was there at times at least, but you need to see the other things. And if anything's going to be there when the scoring is it, I'd want it to be the senior leadership. And You know, good job by Victor Oladipo to help calm him down. That was great to see. You know, kind of just on another note, from a leadership perspective from him, that, you know, and then obviously he didn't play too much until the end of the game when he just continued to struggle outside of that one impressive dunk that Assembly Hall absolutely loved. But yeah, just not his night. I think he needs to calm down. I think he needs to pretty much just learn how to put, you know, bad play behind him.
All right, Andy, let's go over to you because I know that you, I mean, that, Zach, that's really good stuff too, by the way. I mean, that's some of the stuff that we don't really get a chance to see on TV, and that's why we like bringing you on here after these games. Andy, you know, kind of with that being said and some of your thoughts that you already had, you know, I'll let you pick it up from there.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, and I hate to kind of feel like you're nitpicking at a game like this, but I think, you know, we talked a lot on Sunday night about how important he was going to be in this game, and aside from the fact that we turned out to be wrong about that, you know, I think it's worth talking about. I mean, there are a couple of plays that kind of stood out to me, and one of which really made me mad, which it's hard to get mad when you're up by, you know, 25, 30 points. But, you know, one was in the first half where, you know, he had kind of bringing the ball up the floor, lost control of it, and was just real nonchalant trying to go back after it. Marcus Page dove on the floor, knocked it off of him. Allegedly knocked it off of him. Whether it went off of him or not, I don't really know. But that was just one where, you know, you got to have a little more effort to go in and get it. And the other was, you know, he didn't start the second half, and almost as soon as he got in, got the ball out of the three-point line, and you just knew as soon as he got it that he was going to take a shot of some kind. And he went and he took some strange off-balance, like left-handed shot, you know, falling out of bounds that didn't go in, and just kind of thought, you know, you'd like to think that you're sitting over there watching how these other guys are moving without the ball and really passing well, and kind of committed to that. I got a little bit agitated about, but you know, again, I think it's kind of what we've come to expect from him. So there's nothing that says that at the next game he's not going to come out and play really well, and that he'll respond to this. And I think, you know, again, as we've talked about, you know, so many times, you know, the good thing now about the team is they've got other guys who will step up in his place, and if that motivates him, fine, and if it doesn't, then so be it. But, you know, the team's not really going to skip a beat when they have a guy who's not on his game that particular night. And, you know, for me, it's one thing if you're missing shots, that happens. You know, nobody's going to, you know, make every three-pointer they shoot or every shot that they take. I thought, you know, a couple of times the effort just wasn't what you'd kind of like to see in the attitude from that perspective. But since Megan's giving me a hard time, I'll stop being a curmudgeon and talking about something bad in a game that IU was dominant in. So I'll move on from there. Like I said in the chat, I'm not going to let it, you know, take the shine off of how well IU played tonight. And, you know, definitely something to kind of watch going forward, but I don't think a huge concern because it's clear that other guys can step in and pick up the slack.
Hey, you know what, Andy, you don't have to feel bad about talking about this, but I think it's a sign of growth for this program. Indiana can win 83-59 and that we can talk about, you know, we can be critical of a guy like Christian Watford who, look, I mean, we watch this team as much as anybody, and we both thought he was critical coming in tonight. I mean, if you told me that he was going to go 1-for-9 with 2 points, Indiana was going to win by, you know, whatever we won by, you know, 34-24, whatever it is, you know, I would have told you that you're crazy, but we did, and that's a sign of how far this program has come. But I still think, you know, Christian Watford's a guy, especially in some of those tough road contests in the Big Ten season, he's a guy who stepped up in the past, and we're going to need him to step up in the future. And I think it really feels like, you know, we're through what? What have we played? Six games? Seven games now. We're 7-0. Christian seems to me like the one guy that hasn't quite found his niche with this team. Like, he's had a few good games, a few good double-doubles, but I don't know. I have this sense like there's Christian kind of over here and everybody else over here. And, you know, so a game like this, it's a little bit concerning for that reason. We don't need to dwell on it anymore tonight. We're going to go on to final thoughts now. We're going to be positive because everything is positive. But Christian is a very important part of this basketball team, and I do think we need him in future big games to step up and be a lot better than 1-for-9 and with kind of the lackadaisical play that we saw tonight. You know, we need him to be better than that. And I think he will. He's proven that he'll bounce back from games like tonight and that he'll typically step up in big games. So nothing to be overly concerned about yet. But like you said, it's something to watch moving forward. So with that said, let's go to final thoughts, which should all be positive because this night was overwhelmingly positive because Indiana played, like we said, one of its best games under Tom Crean, one of the best games that any of us can remember playing. and dismantling North Carolina tonight. And so let's go to Ryan. Zach, you're still hanging on, so we'll go to you two, and then we'll go to Andy. But let's get some final thoughts on tonight's game. Ryan, lead us off.
I just think, like you said, it's to realize, you know, where we were 18 months ago, even last year before we beat Kentucky. I mean, they were undefeated, but people were unconvinced. And to look now, number one in the nation, might have the best player in the nation on the team, and have such a complete deep roster that hasn't even got two of its freshmen in the rotation or one of its seniors in the rotation yet this year. It's a great time to be an IU fan. And this feels all, I know it was tough going through those really lean years, but this has all made it that much sweeter, I think, to win a game like this over a top 15, incredibly talented team. Regardless of whether or not they played well, that's a super talented team, and you need to play well to beat them. And to see us just absolutely dismantle a nationally respected program like that, you know, one of the greatest programs in the country easily, and to see them just completely dismantled by IU is really impressive. And to think about where this program was, where it is, and where it can go every time we see a big game like this, it feels that way, you know, just like, wow, what's next? And if we didn't know it yet, we know it already, or we know it now. Indiana's for real, and they're not going anywhere for a while. So as a fan, it's just time to be excited.
Agreed. All right, Zach, your final thoughts on what was definitely a banner night for the Hoosiers tonight in Bloomington.
You can say – the Hoosiers won and were able to dominate as they did for this reason, for that reason. But being at Assembly Hall, I can say with confidence the reason, if you had to pick one, like I said, around the middle of the second half, the crowd randomly went into a roar. I had no idea what it was at first. Sure enough, Tom Pritchard was casually strolling out of the tunnel. When everybody realized he was there, the crowd continued to get louder and louder despite nothing really going on at that moment in time in the game. And as we all know, when the pitch is in the building, not much can go wrong.
Very true. All right, Andy, let's go to you, man. Final thoughts on tonight's victory.
You know, I guess it probably summed up best in some of the quotes that were, Dustin Dupirak was putting in from the press conference. I thought a couple from Sheehy were really good. Probably sum up, I think, what we all think about this team. You know, the first one was we played hard, we played well, we played together. For us to do that, stuff like this is going to happen. And then the other was really something to the effect of there's, you guys have to remember this game is Vic's game. I think just the same kind of thing that we saw a lot last year, these guys really enjoy, playing together, they feed off of one another, and they, have such a great trust in each other. You're seeing more, now the first few years of Crean's era where you're kind of patching together rosters of whoever you could get to come. It was very much individual pieces and guys and maybe pockets of guys, but it wasn't really a team in the way that you see these guys as now. And, for the leadership of guys like, Will and Vic and Holt. If the Roy Williams quote that I saw on Twitter was true, he basically said Zeller and two guys I never heard of in high school, referring to Sheehy and Oladipo, just kicked our rear ends or something, something to that extent. If that's actually accurate, I think that's great. But I think
that
it really speaks to those guys. I mean, those guys have brought that attitude. Those guys are the ones who are really the leaders based on everything that you hear about the team. And it was clear that those guys, I mean, seeing them come off the floor, they clearly could have, they would have come out and played three more games against them. They're just, so excited and so together. And I think, that's the thing that's really cool. I think that's the thing that is attracting recruits and bringing, fans back who may have left for whatever reason. I just think those are the kinds of things that people remember, vividly from all the great IU teams of the past. And, I think it's something that these guys have kind of built up themselves over these last few years, and you're really seeing the fruits of that now. And, I think that's only going to get better because they've really started to build a foundation that I think is sustainable going forward, as opposed to, you know, the model that that other people have used.
I agree with you. I think there have been special players in this program's history. Some of them have been highly recruited. Some of them have not been highly recruited. And I think Victor Oladipo and Will Sheehy, you know, now in their junior season, they are starting to inch their way into that category of special players. Those guys that maybe they didn't score as much as Calvert Chaney, and maybe they didn't, you know, win, a national championship yet, although that's certainly what these guys are going for. But the impact that they had on the program was so huge. And I think these two guys, they were so unheralded, but they do seem like just kind of the heart and soul of this team. You know, the more that you watch this team play, because when those two guys are going, this team is unstoppable. And that's part of why, you know, we got a tweet late in the game from @AgingJoy, and the tweet was, "Cody's so good, makes me sad. He'll be gone next year." And this brings me to my final thought, which is going to be pretty much the same final thought I'm probably going to have every game this season. You're going to get sick and tired of me being a broken record, and it is enjoy the journey. Enjoy this journey. Don't look forward to, you know, Vonley and the recruiting class of next year, and don't be afraid about Cody going pro, and don't think about this, that, or the other. Who cares about that? I mean, through seven games, this team has already shown itself that it has the potential to be one of the most special basketball teams this great program has seen. That's not hyperbole. You know, and this program has had five national champions, and this team has the potential to be another. Don't worry about anything. Enjoy watching this team play. Enjoy every game, just like last year. It's what made last year so special. And now this year's team is even better with better players and can take that next step that last year's team wasn't able to take. Don't worry about the other stuff. Enjoy every game. Enjoy being able to watch this team play. Like you said, Andy, this team looks like it has so much fun playing together. And, you know, you read those quotes from Will where he's, you know, giving all the praise to Victor, and you see the other guys giving praise to other people. It's just a joy to watch a college basketball team function like this at such a high efficiency level and with such togetherness. And it all goes with the coach, and we have to continue to give props to Tom Crean, who's done such a great job of turning this program around. But so much, you know, just so much credit to the kids, you know, who have done such a great job of representing Indiana, continue to do so. But don't worry about the future. Don't worry about anything else. Just enjoy watching this team play, because when it's over, you're going to wish that you could watch this team play again. So savor every game, every moment, because there's going to be a lot more moments like tonight. Now, look, I don't know if we're going to beat teams like North Carolina 83-59 again. I mean, this was a pretty remarkable evening of basketball from Indiana, but there are going to be plenty more games where you walk away from it thinking, man, I am proud to be an Indiana fan because of how this team played. And just look forward to those games. Enjoy them. Savor all of them, because this is going to be a special season. It's a special team. And let's just enjoy it together. That's what we do here on the Assembly Call, and that's what we will look to continue doing. I haven't even looked at the schedule. When do we play again? Let me open this up. And we will find out when we play again. I think it's this weekend, right?
I think it's Saturday.
Yeah, against Coppin State. So December 1st. So we take a little bit of a step down now. We got a couple of games against December 1st against Coppin State, December 8th against CCSU, Andy Hoot, Central Connecticut State, okay?
Yeah,
so the competition level goes down a little bit as we warm up for Butler, and of course the Butler game is notable because we'll have Hunter and Peter Jerkin back for that game. So anyway, you know, just enjoy watching this team play. That's the final thought tonight, because good Lord, there have been few games in recent Indiana history that have been as enjoyable as this one was. 83-59, Indiana wins. We will be back here Saturday with you to talk about the Coppin State game. That game starts at 7:30 Eastern Time, 6:30 Central Time. We'll be here after the game to discuss it. Other than that, enjoy this victory, revel in it, and just enjoy watching this team play for the rest of the season. Indiana wins 83-59. We thank everybody who called in, everybody who listened in, and we will look forward to talking with you next time on the Assembly Call. Have a great night, everybody.